it's going to be one of those days.
It is I, it is Think So Joe, along with G.
Yo.
And JT.
It just feels so hard today to come up with something clever and stupid to intro myself in with.
I know, and George isn't here today. It's going to be a short show, I have a feeling.
you don't really need him to have a short show. We got me here, along with...
You know something. I'm always here. You know I'm always going to be here. So you don't have to worry, dude, brother.
Oh, jeez. They're both here today. I guess that almost makes up for George not being here. It's been one of those weekends, man. Like, I went to... I was bored yesterday. Like, my wife had a girls' night thing to go to, and I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do all day? So I'm sitting around playing video games, and my landlady, like, messaged me on Facebook, like, oh, the pool's open. Like, yeah, that's a good idea. So I decided to go out to the pool, and I put my phone in the pocket of my swim trunks, and I, you know, had my keys in my hand. I set my keys and my towel down on the table out there, and I get in the pool. And then I started looking at the pool. I'm like halfway in the pool. I'm like, shit, man. This pool needs to be cleaned. Where the fuck is that skimmer? So I go find the skimmer, right? And as soon as I step out of the pool, I get a text message. And I realize my phone is still in my pocket.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's why you didn't respond to my text message. I forgot about that.
So I have, like, no phone. And, like, it worked fine for a few minutes there, and then I jumped in the pool, and by the time I got out of the pool, it was, like, not working. So I'm like, oh, shit. And, you know, our good friend Brian happened to comment on one of my Facebook statuses, like, oh, how come I'm not invited to come in the pool? So I'm like, dude, you know, hey, you could go in the pool if you drive me to Best Buy real quick so I could swap out my phone. He's like, okay, I'll be right there. Like, really? Okay, sure. It's called Best Buy. I set up an appointment, and he, sure enough, Brian shows up at my door, like, okay, let's go. So we went, and I had to hand in my phone. It's going to be like Tuesday or Wednesday before I have a phone again. And so, you know, check your pockets before you get in the pool, kids.
Yeah. I actually went swimming in a pool yesterday for the first time, and I don't know how long, so I went to my friends.
I'm not really a swimming pool kind of guy, but I have one in my backyard, so I'm becoming one. Like, all last summer I was in it. But I never usually go in by myself. Just yesterday I was bored, and I'm like, eh, screw it, pool sounds okay. Let me go out to the pool. which turned out to be a bad idea. But, and Maven fan, I didn't go to my wife's party because it was like some kind of like shaving party, and, you know, my legs are supposed to be hairy.
Yeah, my buddy's nephew, he's like, JT, you have a beard on your belly. I'm like, it's, men have chest hair. That's a part of you. Just because your dad doesn't have chest hair, your dad's a freak.
Yeah.
But yeah, also, like, all they did yesterday, I went, and I don't have it yet. I won't have it until July 16th. But I went out and I bought a 40-inch HD smart TV.
JT is joining the 21st century, ladies and gentlemen.
With all the works, I got a Blu-ray player. I bought the whole... I got everything that it came with it. The whole sound bar, the entertainment center. And now I just have to wait till July 16th before I get to play with it.
You gotta wait. You gotta sit and wait.
So JT is in HD finally.
Almost
on July 16th.
On July 16th, you'll be in HD.
Yeah, I get my.
You're gonna be 2 days late for Money in the Bank.
Well, I'm gonna get the TV a week before I go on my trip to the Thousand Islands.
Oh yeah, your annual trip there. So you're gonna be able to watch TV like 3 days.
Yeah.
Then you gotta go.
So G, how was your Saturday?
What?
He asked you how your Saturday was.
Well, we all three of that means all three of us were wet yesterday because we were all.
Oh man, come on! Why that's just fucked up. Come on, the poor guy's drowning over in Calgary. You're like, oh, we all got wet yesterday.
Yeah, it's my part of my area that I work, at least at night, was still pretty good, so I was at work.
Oh, that's good. You're still able to make
figure out what was going on, and watching TV as much as I could. To, you know, we're still in a state of emergency yesterday, so we're possibly still on one. That's what I'm watching on the television right now. So.
Yeah, I know you and our good friend Doc Knight, and of course the Slam Jam's Professor Salmon. You guys are all having to deal with all that, and that kind of sucks. I feel bad for you guys.
Yeah, people are allowed to go back to most of their homes in approximately 45 minutes to assess and see what's going on. So I'm expecting more to come out as that sort of occurs. It's really, I don't know. We don't know what's going on really at this point. Downtown is completely closed for probably a week. And that's the thing that's the kicker, is because, you know, that's where City Hall is. That's where all the cable and the phone companies and all basically everything that needs to be accessed to more or less fix the problem is part of the problem.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fucked up. And then, of course, our biggest cash influx of the year being the Calgary Stampede is pretty questionable at this point, because the Stampede grounds and the Saddle Dome where the Calgary Flames play is very much underwater.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a good thing they didn't make the finals, huh?
Well, they'd be playing in Edmonton probably.
Probably.
Or Lethbridge, maybe.
Hey, we could see an end of the Stanley Cup Finals tomorrow night. So guess who's not watching Raw?
Nobody does.
That's
I
right.
Actually tweeted that out. I'm like, who fucking still watches Raw now?
I'll tell you, I mean, it was a good show on Monday. It really was. I got to give him credit. I'm not, saying it was the best Raw of all time. But it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It's definitely the best Raw in a long time, though.
Yeah, well, I'll give you that. It was definitely one of the better Raws. I mean, but the thing is, like, a couple of things that people were really excited about was just me saying, meh. You know? And we'll get into that right now.
Yeah.
Because I have hope. I have hope after WWE Payback that WWE is ready to turn the corner and start producing compelling television. CM Punk is back. Rob Van Dam is coming back. They pulled off the elusive double turn with Alberto Del Rio and Dolph Ziggler, which I fully expect them to solidify on tonight's show. Plus, another surprise pops up in the first 30 minutes of this episode, which I'm sure will be exciting for some people. Let's roll! Or drown, or whatever we're doing in Calgary these days.
Answer trivia questions like JT.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you win tomorrow night, I won't know because you can't text me.
Oh yeah, but good. George isn't here to shit on me. The last 2 weeks, I've won it. I got back to my winning ways with my team. My team got to its winning ways, and I fandangoed the last 2 weeks when we won.
Do 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 do. Anyway, first quick 30 recap. Raw kicks off with Alberto Del Rio celebrating his World Heavyweight Championship, saying that for 5 months he did everything for the WWE Universe and he got nothing. But last night he did it for himself and he proved he was the best. This brings out CM Punk and Paul Heyman. Punk says he's out there because he heard Del Rio call himself the best and that he should prove it by facing Punk in a match tonight. Heyman says Punk doesn't fight for free. Punk stops him and says he wants a fight, be it Del Rio or even Ricardo Rodriguez. Del Rio denies the request, but Vicky Guerrero overrides him, so it's Punk versus Del Rio later on. But first, it's Wade Barrett versus the new Intercontinental Champion, Curtis Axel, or so we think. After a backstage segment where Punk tells Heyman he doesn't want him at ringside anymore, but he'll always be a Paul Heyman guy, Vicky Guerrero says Barrett will eventually get his rematch with Axel, but first he has to face her surprise, Christian. Yay. Christian defeats Barrett in a short match with a kill switch.
Engage. I saw them a couple weeks ago.
Nice. Yeah. Anybody else excited that Christian is back?
Oh, yeah, I am.
That's because you're Canadian.
Well, that and the fact that we have a Money in the Bank pay-per-view coming up. And,
that's true. That could be it. That could be interesting.
Well, of course I'm excited that one of the greatest Canadians that ever lived, Christian, is back in the WWE.
Oh, boy. Oh,
well,
man.
Also have to look at how thin the roster is and the fact that they need guys to make the guys coming out of NXT actually viable in the eyes of the casual fan.
True.
Guys like Christian are essential to doing that as long as they do that.
True. I don't know. I've never been a big Christian fan. I like towards the end of his first WWE run, I was starting to like really get into his character. And then he went to TNA, and he just fell flat, just like he is now to me. So, I don't know. Whatever. I am not a John Cena Mark Maven fan. Maven fans in this. Yeah, Maven fans in this review later on. Speaking of later on, Daniel Bryan faces Randy Orton, and you, yes, you, can choose whether it'll be a no DQ, no count out, or 2 out of 3 falls match. I hate the fact that you can get counted out in no DQ matches now.
Download the app.
The Wyatt family are coming! The Wyatt family are coming! Punk is back, RVD is coming back, and the Wyatt family are coming! Hope reigns supreme! Rhodes Scholars are in the ring, and they are facing Sheamus. Yes, both of them. Guess who's probably winning this one? Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes get to the ring at the same time for the, get to be in the ring at the same time for this one. Sheamus is on the defensive for most of the early part of the match until Rhodes slaps him a few times. This fires up the Celtic Warrior, who teaches the kids to count with help from Cody Rhodes. He sets up a brogue kick on Rhodes, but gets rolled up by Sandow, who picks up the 3 count. Holy fucking shit! Rhodes Scholars beat Sheamus. Then Sheamus, the star that he is, brogue kicks Cody after the match, much to the disdain of Sandow, who watches from the stage. Vote for a bunch of crappy stipulations for Daniel Bryan versus Randall, Keith, Orton later. Also, later, will Mark Henry retire? Rob Van Dam, the whole fucking show. He's back at Money in the Bank, and because one of the clips they used in the promo is of RVD dropkicking Jeff Hardy, my wife was hoping he'd come back too. He's not. Triple H is with Team Bricky. She's trying to do things to make Triple H proud. He thinks CM Punk versus Alberto Del Rio is a great idea, but what was going to be the main event if CM Punk didn't come back? He asked what took so long for Christian to come back, since he was cleared for a month and a half. Also, RVD, Bricky argues over whose idea that was, and Triple H says he made the deal with Rob Van Dam. He wants to talk about the Shield. He needs Vicky to take control over them. She needs to make an example of them if they get involved in the show tonight. He tells her, good job, especially putting 3MB on the show tonight. Calls it a stroke of genius. Brad Maddox doesn't pick up on the sarcasm. Last night at Payback, Daniel Bryan took out Randall, Keith, Orton. On accident, Orton let Bryan get speared by Roman Reigns on purpose. So they're fighting tonight. Kane confronts Bryan backstage, says he's busy. He feels that Kane is glad he lost last night. Kane isn't glad of anything. He thinks Hell No should give it another shot. Bryan says he doesn't want to be a part of any team other than Team Daniel Bryan, Team DB, which Kane says makes sense because he's acting like a DB. Bryan says he needs to win the WWE Championship. Kane was thinking the same thing. He wants to win it too. Neither one of them know if this is it for Team Hell No. Kane wishes Bryan luck, which he misconstrues as a sign that Kane thinks he's the weak link. Now go vote for shitty stipulations for an awesome wrestler facing a mediocre yet insanely popular for some ungodly reason wrestler. I found out who the mystery man that keeps showing up in the SmackDown review. That has nothing to do with this because this is Raw, so I'm not going to tell you who it is. It's not Maven Fan. Maven Fan is too busy marking up for Randall, Keith, Orton's entrance. Daniel Bryan comes out and Jerry Lawler tells us what you voted for. You. Not me. I wasn't home. I wouldn't have voted anyway because these all suck. You all voted for a no DQ match. The fans are clearly behind Bryan here, except for one girl in a Maven t-shirt. JT is seen in the audience holding up a sign that reads, I'm a figment of your imagination. Right now I'm fandangoing because I won at trivia. The referee starts to count when they wind up on the outside. I hate that countouts are a thing in no DQ matches now. G, on the other hand, loves it. It's his second favorite thing behind non-title matches. Orton grabs a kendo stick. Sandman is seen in the audience holding up a figment of JT's imagination, who is holding up a sign that reads, It's a fucking Singapore cane, dammit! Orton attacks the ribs of Bryan throughout the match, and the doctor at ringside continuously checks on him, eventually calling for a stop to the match. Orton helps Bryan up after the match. Bryan seems upset that the match was stopped. Later on, CM Punk faces Alberto Del Rio.
All I gotta say is that the fan, as far as the winning a trivia and the fan dangling, fucking Natalie Portman, you had to fucking shave your head and some shitty fucking indie band had to name him after you to keep me from getting a perfect fucking game at trivia, my team getting a perfect fucking score. We missed one question and that was it.
Oh, well, you still won.
Yeah, but we're tied in the tournament, so...
Oh, I got you. Okay. Well, we get a recap of Punk interrupting Del Rio earlier. The new WWE Divas Champion AJ Lee is seconded by Big E Langston as she makes her way to the ring. She says this is what it's like to have it all. Ziggy couldn't be here because he's not medically cleared, but soon enough, he'll share the spotlight with the greatest Divas Champion of all time, AJ. She says she's always been the champion, now she has proof. Last night she made Piglet tap out, but she is the hero of this story. She's a woman who knows how to get exactly what she wants, an example to women everywhere. There's not a woman in the audience backstage or in the world who is so strong, brilliant, and courageous as AJ is. And if there's anyone back there that thinks she could compare to AJ, AJ dares her to come out. Nobody takes her up on it. Nobody except for Stephanie McMahon. Steph says says there's a line of divas waiting to come out, but Steph wanted to come out and say her piece. She congratulates AJ and wonders why AJ perpetuates the stereotype that women will tear each other down instead of building each other up. Steph says it's time that AJ starts acting like a champion. AJ apologizes. She should act more like Stephanie by marrying a superstar. AJ says she is Stephanie, only younger and without the fancy pantsuit. Steph says AJ is the Divas champion, but she could take that all away if she wanted to. She could make it so AJ doesn't have a job anymore. Caitlyn leads a group of divas to the stage. I recognize three of them. Stephanie tells Caitlyn never to interrupt her again. Caitlyn says AJ played her like a puppet and broke her. Now it's Caitlyn's turn. She gets in the ring and assaults AJ. Biggie Langston tries to pull AJ to safety and prevents her from getting back in the ring. AJ screams for her title, and when she gets it, she says Caitlyn will never get it again. I'm really feeling these last couple of weeks of Divas segments. Seriously. Up next, it's Kane versus Dean Ambrose for the U.S. title in a rematch from Payback. Yeah, I think I saw that same t-shirt, JT. The Maven t-shirt in the dollar bin at Walmart, yeah. Dean Ambrose versus Kane for the WWE United States Championship. So, Dean Ambrose defeats Kane cleanly by count out at Payback, and Kane gets a rematch. Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins get involved in this one, cause the DQ. Kane eats the triple powerbomb. Mark Henry is backstage with the primetime players and Tamina Snuka. He's up next, apparently. Classic Mizark Henry moment. Hey, 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 Rock! I don't know what you're cooking. Smells like shit, but I think I'll eat some anyway. The Shield are celebrating backstage. Vicky stops them and says they weren't to get involved. Ambrose asks what the severe ramifications are. She manages to utter out the word "you're" to Dean Ambrose before Vince McMahon walks in. He says it was a good match. The Shield remind him of himself. Ruthless aggression. They leave, and Vince says he likes the Shield, and he's never liked that Halloween mask-wearing freak Kane anyway. CM Punk versus Del Rio happens tonight, and we see another Wyatt family vignette right now! And as George told me it did on the USA Network, it cuts out on Sky Sports as well. Boo! Zeb Coulter comes out and tells everybody to open their eyes. The government is spying on you. People still sneak across the borders, but to show that he and Jack Swagger aren't prejudiced, they've chosen to align themselves with Antonio Cesaro, who comes out and says, "We the people." He's facing William Regal. This shouldn't last long. Good to see Cesaro getting some kind of storyline. He picks up the win with the neutralizer. After the match, Cesaro holds up the "Don't Tread on Me" flag and buries Regal under it. John Cena is up next. As soon as they show him, I doze off. Seriously. Cena is out, and we all find out that Ryback is not cleared to wrestle after what happened at Payback. Cena says we're all here because we love the WWE. Cena says his favorite WWE superstar is the fans. He admires their honesty, and I stop paying attention for a minute as I look up the Turnbuckle Tees CM Punk Chicago Cubs t-shirt the dude in the front row is wearing. Rest in peace, Turnbuckle Tees. Cena says he'll take on any challenge anybody puts in front of him. He says after Money in the Bank, he'll be ready, and there'll be no opportune time to cash in on him. The next person to hold the title earns it. Mark Henry's music hits, and he walks out, boots in hand. He sets him on the stage and walks to the ring. He shakes Cena's hand when he gets in the ring, and the fans chant, "Sexual Chocolate." He asks Cena to stay because he's got something to tell everybody. He respects everybody who loves this business. He was a seasoned veteran when Cena came in, and Cena's doing an awesome job. The chant changes to, "Thank you, Henry." He says he'd expect if they could forgive him, they'd remember the coat he's wearing. "Sexual Chocolate." He tells Cena he's going to be the greatest WWE champion of all time, and at the rate he's going, he gets the "one more match" chant from the fans, and Cena hands him the WWE championship. Mark has gotten to travel the world several times over. He's a proud, proud man. He thinks his wife will see more of him than she wants to, and his son and his little girl who cries when Mark leaves home, "Baby, I'm coming home." Cena steps to the ring to raise Henry's hand and eats the world's strongest slam. Henry screams at Cena, "You think it's that easy? I got a lot left in the tank." He tosses the title at Cena as the crowd chants, "You still got it," at a guy who just wrestled a few weeks ago. That's what I do.
That was a good swerve.
It was, man. He had me going. I was really, like, at the beginning when it went into it, it's like, yeah, this is a work. This is a work. Then he keeps going. It's like, holy shit, he's really retiring. And then he hits the world's strongest slam. It's like, oh, shit, Mark Henry just fucking worked me.
Well, he went all out, you know, he's tearing up in there and talking in a way that, like, you know, it was very similar to the Edge retirement, which I think played to his favor. I mean, he was tweeting, like, people and friends to tune in to watch.
He tweeted to Magic Johnson to tell him tune into USA and watch his retirement.
Yep, yep, one of many, one of many. And I think that's probably, when you look at a career highlight package of Mark Henry, this is going to be his promo segment of his career.
Absolutely. And in fact, the next line in my review is, you know, I was skeptical for a little while, but toward the end, I was actually convinced that Henry was retiring. Kudos, WWE. Kudos. Still to come, it's CM Punk versus Alberto Del Rio. Before the break, WWE genuinely surprised me. Mark Henry is walking backstage when Renee Young stops him. He says he had us all fooled. We're all a bunch of puppets. The only title he's never held is the WWE title, and he's challenging Cena for it right now. He's got two boots because he's going to leave one of them in John Cena's rear end.
Don't forget to shine it up real nice.
Right? 3MB are in the ring. George is seen in the ring with them playing air bass before security throws him out. Five is enough, yells the security guard. Chris Jericho comes out, and it's apparently him versus Heath Slater. Mahal.
I wonder who's winning this one.
Mahal distracts the referee. McIntyre nails Jericho, but Slater only scores a two count. Jericho picks up the easy victory with the Codebreaker. The rest of 3MB attack, but each eat Codebreakers as well. Paul Heyman is with Intercontinental Champion Curtis Axel when Matt Stryker and Paul asks Paul Heyman about CM Punk. Heyman asks him to ask about Curtis Axel, the man born to be better than perfect. Miz is on commentary, and Curtis Axel is facing Sin Cara. Fun. Shouldn't last long, but fast forward! Axel wins with a sick DDT.
Yeah, you don't want to hear Miz on commentary. He's terrible.
Yeah. Punk versus Del Rio to come! This Friday, it's Daniel Bryan versus Dean Ambrose, or at least he's scheduled to. Vince McMahon tells Bricky that they're doing a good job. He asks what they're doing about Mark Henry. They say he's getting a title shot at Money in the Bank. Stephanie comes in and contradicts everything Vince says. Triple H comes in and asks about the Shield. He says she needs to start listening to him. Vince says to listen to him, and she's good to go. Stephanie says not to listen to either one of them. She knows who to listen to. CM Punk is backstage when Paul Heyman catches up to him. He thanks CM Punk for everything. He says he loves him and gives him a hug. Punk makes his way out to the ring, and we're set for action. I'm having a hard time watching this. It's pretty good, but I'm exhausted after the previous 2¾ hours. Raw is too long. Meanwhile, the announcers say that Daniel Bryan suffered a stinger in the match earlier and will be ready for Ambrose on Friday. I'm tired, so fast forward. Punk hits the GTS, but Del Rio rolls out of the ring. Ricardo helps him up, but the referee counts Del Rio out. On his way out of the arena, Del Rio is assaulted by Dolph Ziggler. Ziggler chases Del Rio out of the arena as Punk has announced the winner, but instead of Cult of Personality, we get Brock Lesnar's music, and Lesnar is here in Grand Rapids! He gets in the ring and grabs a microphone. He feigns going to speak, but nails Punk with an F5 instead, leaving the former WWE champion lying to end the show. Thoughts? Too damn long. Otherwise, a solid show. Things are getting better, my friends. See you Sunday for Cock Talk!
Cock Talk!
Cock Talk!
Hey, Cock Talk, buddy. Let's Cock Talk.
Damn, JT Hogan still here.
JTG
is here. JT Hogan. They're all fucking here, man.
Who the hell is this JTG? I'm Canadian JT.
Whatever.
I don't like calling him JTG because it's just in case the
I know.
The fuckers in WWE are listening. Hey, that's our name.
It's not like they're using it. So what else happened this week?
Main event.
Did we get a review for main event? I didn't catch it.
Yes, we did. It's called G's Birthday Edition because it happened on G's birthday.
Alrighty then.
As G turned 28 this year, right, G?
Yep.
We'll go with that.
Here we are for this week's edition of Main Event, which this week happened on our very own G's birthday. Happy birthday, G. So here's what happened. We begin with a payback recap. I think it was Jericho versus Punk, too. Oh, no, wait, no, it wasn't. It was just the whole pay-per-view. Okay, yeah, that's right. As the Shield makes their entrance, we are introduced to the commentary team this week, consisting of Josh Matthews, Miz, and for G's birthday, Cody Rhodes and the Love Stash. Match number one. The Shield defeats Justin Gabriel and the Usos. G's seen in the audience with a sign that says birthday wish one. Miz to shut the fuck up and go away. Good match here. It's kind of short, but I'm okay with that as long as the rest of the program isn't all recaps. Payback recap two. Punk versus Jericho. Looks like Punk's going for the Wolverine look now. Raw recap. Punk versus Del Rio. Ziggler attacks Del Rio, then Lesnar attacks Punk. Match 2. Antonio Cesaro with Zeb Coulter defeated Shit Crappa. G is seen in the audience with another signing saying birthday wish 2. JT, you need to watch Payback and Raw this week. Sorry, G, not happening. Not enough time. Zeb cuts a promo about how Antonio Cesaro is his new man crush now and does his usual rant on Crappa. Another good match here, but Crappa needs to lose the lighting on his matches because it's terrible. This week on SmackDown, Daniel Bryan faces Super Robot Orton Sai. Match number 3. Caitlyn defeated Oksana. G is in the audience with a sign saying, birthday wish 3. JT, fast forward through this match quick. And that's what he did. It looks like Oksana has learned a couple more moves besides the headlock of doom. RVD is returning at Money in the Bank. That's plenty of time so he can get the pot out of the system to pass the piss test. Raw recap. Mark Henry announces his retirement so he can become an Orange Age spokesperson, only to fool us down and beat down John Cena. After two replays of the World's Strongest Slam, really, Henry is shown in the back act where he challenges Cena for the title and we fade to black. Overall, whoa! George just snuck in and hit Joe over the head with a chair.
No. Like, no. Confusing. I'm like knocking shit over in here, man. It's like really hot. I'm actually glad George isn't here because now I can. Because, like, that would just be like way too much human in the room. It would smell.
The rain, after the rain, it's gotten so sticky after it rained.
I just opened my window.
Overall, show was okay. First half was good, and that's the only part I would recommend watching. I sat through all the recaps this time because the show didn't really feel like it was a drag, which is also a plus. Commentary result. Miz sucked as usual. Rhodes was good, and Josh Matthews was well. Josh Matthews. And that's it for main event this week.
Yeah. By the way, I have hit George over the head with a steel chair. He's hit me across the back. Anyway. Yeah. It's like just warm in the studio. SmackDown happened. I tweeted during SmackDown while G was recapping.
I actually tried to watch this during the 8 to 10 o'clock time span that's on, but then my uncle-in-law showed up and I had to entertain him for an hour.
Well, let's go with G's review here and I will read along with my tweets.
G?
Alright.
Oh, okay.
He's still alive.
There's a news update I was watching.
Okay.
Okay, well, this will be a little different than normal. I'm whipping through SmackDown since Calgary will be going through rolling power outages tonight, or so the police scanner says, to deal with the massive flooding in the city. Let's be honest here, there's no way SmackDown is topping either Payback or Raw, which are both solid shows. Unfortunately, I prepared a little something-something ahead of time this week and some gifts, so it feels kind of normal. But in all seriousness, I kind of need to watch the news to see what the fuck is going on in my hometown and how it affects me. Sorry. Sloshing time. No voice-over joke this week, I just skipped that part. Daniel Bryan kicks off the show in the ring, which immediately makes the Raw injury angle questionable. He reportedly suffered a stinger as Triple H made the call to end it. They were concerned for his health, and so they stopped the match. Bryan considers Orton the worst defender of the bunch, and Randall Keith Orton comes out to address the allegations of Bryan against Orton for dehumanizing him. Orton notes that he has a lot of respect for Bryan because Orton didn't want to fight Bryan anymore, but Daniel kept coming at him. So Brian's take is paranoia about being the weak link, not respect. So same old, same old.
So here are my tweets for this segment. First, no Matt Stryker on WWE Active anymore. Sad face. WWE Daniel Bryan in the house. Yes, yes, yes. And hashtag Orton's fault. Notice WWE Daniel Bryan wearing the yes, yes, yes t-shirt. Love the RK over it sign in the crowd. And those were my tweets for this segment.
All right, next up, Cody Rhodes versus Sheamus. Fuck this match. The only shitty thing about all the good that WWE has done this week is somehow Sheamus is still a face. It was also one of the bad things about Raw, that this face cheap shot road-kicked Rhodes after he lost, because that's how good guys deal with the losing. I barely watch this match as I get an idea of what the fuck is going on in Calgary. It looks like my entire downtown core will be shut down until the middle of next week, which is going to make my day job pretty much moot. The match, from what I saw, is okay. Sandow at ringside tried to interfere, but this allows Sheamus to take a win with a cloverleaf submission on Rhodes. Post-match, Sandow attacks Sheamus.
Tweets! First of all, they started the they had a vote on WWE Active of what word best describes Daniel Bryan, and mine was my tweet was, why aren't you people voting handsome on WWE Active? Then I tweeted, that match on Monday wasn't fair to Rhodes Scholars. Rhodes Scholars draw straws to see who faces Sheamus. Cody Rhodes loses. Kudos to Mark Henry, he had me convinced by the end of the speech. Shout out to Kayfabe News for no reason other than they're always hilarious. Hope everyone's enjoying SmackDown. Check out Board Wrestling Fan later on tonight for a different take on the show. Damian Sandow gives that bully Sheamus a taste of his own medicine. Okay. That's my tweets.
Bray Wyatt family promo errors. They're creepy as all hell, and I hope we see them soon enough, but probably not next week, since they tend to put next week at the end of these things once all the vignettes have aired.
Bray Wyatt is coming! Eric Rowan and Luke Harper too! Can't wait!
And we get an IC title match. Curtis Axel, who's the champion, versus Wade Barrett. It's hard not to feel bad about Barrett coming out of the pay-per-view, but realistically, Axel needed the win, or his whole push would have been a complete joke. And Axel wins in a good bout. Post-match, Miz leaves commentary and stares off Axel. Meh.
Tweets for this match. Curtis Axel's theme song sounds like Sin Cara's theme right at the beginning. They showed Teddy Long backstage writing something on writing about tag team matches on a piece of paper, and put, Teddy Long was thinking of making a tag team match? You don't say. Let's see. That was a... Oh, here we go. Yeah, I'm still in this. They showed the commercial for 12 rounds 2. Round 1, get a personality. Hashtag Orton's fault. The Miz should know that Paul Heyman clients don't fight for free. And those were the tweets for that one.
Yeah, I really wasn't watching that much. I missed all of that. So we get clips from the Mark Henry pseudo retirement match, promo of the year. Probably it's the closest thing to a pipe bomb of 2013.
Let's
Next up, non-title match. AJ Lee versus Natalya. JT is seen in the audience holding up a sign that states, be right back, you guys. I have to go check on Think So Zombie Joe. Said something about taking a barrel ride. While Biggie Smalls is at ringside, there's no mediocre Collie sightings this week. And the two begin to grapple, and we immediately are sent to commercials. I'm bored, and my head is not in the game this Friday. We return, and AJ is pretty much submits Natalya with her Black Widow move thingy, or whatever the fuck it's called. Backstage, we see Kate Linner talking with Alayla, and for no reason, Oksana comes in and calls Kate Linner a trash. So Kate Linner attacks Oksana in a crazy fashion that AJ has done for the last year plus. Great.
Things are looking up for the Divas division, at least this week. That was a sick submission move by at Nat by Nature. I see Caitlin figured out how to wear a shirt this evening. Chris Jericho, oh, that's the next segment.
All right. Non-title match, Alberto Del Rio versus Chris Jericho. I get the title thing here, as Y2J has gone after Money in the Bank. Nonetheless, this could be a good little match. But before I can start, a familiar voice echoes over the PA in the arena.
I'm back. Last Christmas, when Alberto Del Rio was busy murdering Santa Claus, I read you a story by a man who may have been playing Santa Claus on TV, but it wasn't Santa. He's real. He's fucking real! Not the aunt, Dick. Cold beer. It's still real to me, damn it. Today, on Sunday or Friday, gotta get down on Friday. I'm going to read you another story. It's called Think So Joe Died Already Because He's a Zombie, so he couldn't actually drown in Niagara Falls because he's already dead. A Wednesday evening Think So Zombie Joe contacted the birthday boy, old fuck G Hall. Quote this, Jorge, nevermore. Letting him know that he took a bus straight to Niagara Falls. he was confused since he didn't know the undead could use Facebook, let alone be allowed on public transit. But I digress. I was busy watching hardcore porn, or pawn, or both. Jenna Jameson was in it either way. Some chef guy shred-raped a potato and stashed it in a storage unit, which was purchased by that fired-up yup guy, and then serviced at a bar where that was restored, then chopped and voted off the island. It was awesome. What was I talking about? Something about Metallica? Either way, zombies can't drown. Joe got a real close look at the bottom of the falls. The end. P.S. No animals were harmed in the making of the slide. George Steele and Dave Bautista are healthy and well. The Miz died, but no one cares about him. Now for a herpes update from George. Go Crunch, even though you fucked it in the Governor Cup.
Oh, I love that check on Crosby. Anyway. Weird. I guess that explains Joe's absence so far on SmackDown. Back to Jericho and ADR. Rick Rod does his usual introduction and things are going nicely. We get a fantastic boat with Rick Rod distracting Jericho while he has ADR in the walls of Jericho. So Jericho grabs Rick Rod and slaps him into the Lion Tamer. This leads to Dolph Ziggler running in to attack ADR, and thus ADR wins via DQ. The two faces argue with Y2J lands the codebreaker on Ziggler, and then Jericho walks off and discusses the heels make their way back to the ring to attack Ziggler. Referees attempt to prevent the heel tandem, but it doesn't really happen. They beat him up.
Chris Jericho still owes me an interview. Ricardo Rodriguez, we still love you. We never liked Alberto Del Rio. I love it when John Layfield puts Michael Cole in his place. Dolph Ziggler! And I just saw Rick the Sign Guy! And why did Jericho just attack Ziegler? My damn phone auto-corrected it to Ziegler. And right now would have been a good time to bring Briley Pierce up to the main roster. Instead, they released him.
That's all right. Drew McIntyre versus Christian. Captain Charisma's return was a little overshadowed and forgotten on that epic Raw, which sucks. Not sure where they're going to go with him, but tonight he faces the Chosen One and his 3MB cohorts. I watched this just for Christian, who surprisingly gets tossed around a bit by McIntyre. Christian ultimately wins with the kill switch and runs off the 3MBs. Post-match, Christian grabs a microphone and discusses about being happy to be back. The entire world knows why I came back for that one more match. And the Shield's music hits, and they swarm the ring, oddly coming from the main entrance ramp, not the stands. Christian is dismantled. Does this mean an Ambrose Christian program? I could dig that.
And tweets from this one. It's just Christian. Let's go, Drew McIntyre! Hashtag 3MB! Yes, the Shield has come to save us from a lackluster Christian promo! And then they went to the Raw recap. So up next on SmackDown, Raw!
Yep. Brock Lesnar kills CM Punk on a Raw clips replay. Did you buy it? I hope not. That shit's free on television. So Renee Young interviews Paul Heyman about the Punk Brock thing, and Heyman takes exception about airing her dirty laundry on the air and mentions stuff about Renee's relationship with her father, why her uncle had to pull her prom date out of her limo, and why she and her fiancé called it quits 2 months ago. The fuck? Wow, they just built up her character in a matter of 30 seconds just like that. And to think, she was merely Renee Paquette on the score only months ago. That was interesting to say the least, and all of a sudden Renee Young has a story. You know who doesn't have a story? Matt Strike Anywhere Matches. He got all future endeavored, which sucks, but I suppose he's being replaced by this blonde Canadian upstart, essentially. And that kind of sucks. I like them both.
Scathing promo by Paul Heyman. Ouch. That was the only tweet in that segment.
That was it. Okay. Daniel Bryan versus Randall Keith Orton. What can I say? This match is pretty awesome. They get a lot of time and we see a diversity of moves. I'm motivated to care so much today that since my city is fucked up. It all culminates with Orton being laid outside the ring and Bryan botching a suicide dive after. But Bryan scrambles into the ring to earn a count out win. He must be stealing one from Axel there. He argues with the referee to restart the match, not wanting to win this way. A no and yes argument results between Bryan and the referee, but Bryan outyells the officials as the WWE logo comes up and I'm out.
Sorry, fell asleep there for a second. Hashtag Orton's fault. Separations in the WWE Don't Try This at Home video. Separations shows John Cena. Coincidence? Probably. Hashtag Randy Borton. Daniel Bryan upset about the countout win. what the fuck kind of ending is that? Well then, I hope you all enjoyed Hashtag SmackDown. Check out the review later tonight on BoardWrestlingFan.com and tune into Hashtag Board, BWF Radio Sunday. And those were my tweets. Yay! It's quiet time. It's so quiet without George on the show. It makes such a huge difference, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Let's see what we're doing now. Anybody pick a break song? Is that something we can do?
Yeah, I got one. I got one if you want one. I figured, because I didn't know if G was here, G was going to be here. If G's got one, I think it's his week.
I believe it is, because I don't know when Brian is coming back.
But if he doesn't have one, I have one. I got one ready, because I understand the situation.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's going to be here. But if you have one, it's your week. I'll let you have it.
No, I got nothing.
Okay, what do you want me to... You want me to post it? You want me to post it in the comments section of the thing?
You could just tell me what it is, and I can look it up.
Okay, it's another cover. I've been listening to a lot of covers lately. This is I'll just put it in the. I'll post it in the comments of the news section. It's gonna be Iron Maiden's version of Deep Purple's Space Truckin'. Just gotta. What the hell? I have it right here on my freaking screen. I have a thing, and for some reason... Hold on a second.
Here, how about I just play it?
Yeah, just play it. Go ahead.
As long as there's no ad. Yay, no ad. Iron Maiden covering Deep Purple, thanks to JT.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
That's off the, we've plugged this before. It's off the Deep Purple Machine Head tribute album, which you should go out and buy. It's 9 out of 10 tracks are great. You can ignore the, I think Flame and Lips track. It sucks. So, but it's a great record. You should go out and buy it. It's got Metallica. If you like Metallica, it's got Metallica on it. Iron Maiden. There's a couple of super groups, which there's a version of Smoke on the Water with Carlos Santana playing guitar. Joe Elliott from Death Leopards on there. Black Label Society. Really go out and buy the record. It's a great record.
If you want to buy the record, click the link in the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Where are we at here?
Roddy Rodimus was on here 1 week. I must have been out here.
He was here last week.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, you weren't here. That's right.
Yeah, I had to do the. For all the times I put the BWF radio over the family thing, I had to put the side. I had to put the family thing over BWF for a week.
and you missed Rowdy Rodimus in the comments last week. You miss everything when you're not here.
I know.
George misses nothing when he's not here. It's always a slow week.
George makes the show.
George does make the show. And if you want him to make your Facebook day, stop him from clubbing baby seals. Go like him on Facebook, facebook.com/GeorgeOnBass. The more people who like him, the less baby seals he clubs. And then as he gets to the proper number, which I believe is 169, he will then get his own personal Facebook page, and he'll have way too little time on his hand to club any more baby seals. So go like George on Facebook. Let's see what else. Last week, Bob Probert defeated Ty Domi to advance to the final, so we're not getting that Rob Ray Ty Domi final we were setting up for after all. But this week it is the final. Two fighters will battle it out to determine who is the ultimate hockey fighter. It's Rob Ray versus Bob Probert, and these two have never fought on the ice, but they will finally battle it out to determine just who the ultimate hockey fighter is. Go vote at boardhockeyfan.com right now, as you and only you can determine the winner, and it counts, unlike the WWE app votes. Also, wrestling trivia this week. Which one of these gimmicks did Mike Awesome not have during his tenure with WCW? Was it A, career killer, B, fat chick thriller, C, Mr. Awesome, or D, that 70s guy? I gotta go with C, Mr. Awesome. What do you guys think?
I'm gonna say career killer.
Okay. G?
Yeah, I'm with JT on this one, because I remember two of those, and C to me seems like it's possible, but the way that program changed so much in this last year and a half or two, who knows?
All right, it's time for Stump JT, which is, you're now Eddie Trunk of this show, JT.
Yeah, and I'm gonna put it out here right now. I am not Eddie Trunk. I do not profess to know any and everything. I will probably get most of these wrong. Because when I do trivia, I do it on a team, and we're all with a whole bunch of smart people, and we all contribute probably 2 to 3 answers each. So, if any Laura Maven fan, if you want to try and stump me, you can too. You can get your questions to G or Joe or Cooley, yep. Whichever anyone. But more than welcome. I'll only do a few. I don't want 20 questions a week. I'm just gonna say I'll only do like. Most 5.
Okay. Well, this week we've only got one, and seeing as the T in JT... By the way, this is not to be confused with Stump JT Hogan, since JT Hogan will only answer with himself and Dude Brother.
Well, you know something, Dude Brother. Since I created everything, it's only natural that I be the answer to everything, Dude Brother.
Well, seeing as the T in JT...
Hey, wait a minute. JT, what? What, Dude Brother? How could you possibly create everything? Since the greatest man in the world, Chris Jericho, created Canada. He didn't, Dude Brother. I created everything. No, he didn't. I created...
Okay, that takes care of those two for a while.
JT Hogan and Kennedy JT are wrestling. They're fighting it out right here.
Seeing as the T in JT stands for trivia, here's a special question just for JT. Did Jeopardy host Alex Trebek ever appear as himself on SNL's Celebrity Jeopardy? The answer will be hidden in the news, but no cheating, JT.
Oh, shit, this match is epically awesome, like Oksana versus Alicia Fox.
Oh, great.
Oh, shit, JT Hogan goes for the he's hulking up. He's going for the big leg. Oh, he misses it. JTG counters. He hits the big splash. One, two, three. Oh, JT, Canadian JT wins. And then a big upset. I'm going to say, let's see, did Jeff Alex Trebek, and I'm just going to strictly, since it's a 50-50 guess, I'm going to say, yeah.
Okay, we'll find out later on. And the Iron Sheik says...
Alrighty. Miss Utah, you are a dumb bitch. You are worse than the Amanda Bynes. You deserve to get put in camel clutch, make you humble. You insult the legend. Fuck you, Monday. You are a dumb piece of shit. I have big news on Tuesday, and I'd be happy I share with you, otherwise suck my 10-inch cock. Amanda Bynes' real name is the Krusty Krab. Krusty Krab, go fuck yourself, you no good piece of shit, motherfucker. Curtis Axel, not perfect, but he good. But if I want, I can break his neck and fuck his ass. Paul Heyman, intelligent Jew, but he... eat too many cheeseburger. Hannah Montana, biggest dumb bitch since Ultimate Warrior Mother. I think he's talking about Kia, which is what I drive. Fuck you, it's chic. The Kia, worst car in the world. I never even take a shit in that car, Bubba. Taliban, suck my dick. The little Wayne, step on flag. If I see him, I step on his dick, break his neck. Tim Duncan, no jabroni, like the Dunkin' Donut. Go fuck yourself. Fuck the Radio Shack. I love this question. Why is LeBron such a fucking dumb bitch? If San Antonio lose, I going to put my TV... Now, he needed to do video of this, because they did lose. If San Antonio lose, I going to put my TV in camel clutch in the ass.
Wednesday.
Yeah, sorry, I had to take a sip. What movie better, Anchorman 2 or Go Fuck Your Own Dead Dog Dick 4? Fuck the Microsoft. God bless the James Gandolfini. He Iron Sheik class forever. Respect to his family. Tony Soprano always entertained the legend. He always going to be number one like the legend. See, he doesn't always hate people.
Thursday.
Chris Bosh, uglier than worst dead dog in the world. Fuck the dumb fucking bird band with the bird dick. That KFC make you shit your pants, Bubba. If Justin Bieber in the Miami, I going to beat the fuck out of him and put his mother in the camel crotch. Ray Lewis, Iron Sheik class, but if I want, I could beat the fuck out of him. I still I love him. Fuck the Northwest. What happened? I thought baby name was going to be the Cheeseburger West. Northwest worse than Coco Beware. Which movie better, Monsters University or Go Fuck Yourself University? Northwest look like King Kong, look like baby King Kong Bundy. Northwest already have cheeseburger ass.
Saturday.
Good morning. Go fuck yourself. What movie better, World Was Z or Suck My Ass and Fuck Your Dead Dog? Cold beer today, perfect, Bubba. Still Hulk Hogan. Go fuck yourself. And
Sunday.
Earlier today. I used to say Russia number one, Iran number one. Now I say USA number one, and go fuck yourself. And we are done.
Okay.
I can say goodnight and go fuck yourself, but he ended the last one with go fuck yourself, so.
Right.
And Maven Fan, I will tell you, I did not know the answer to that question. I will admit it, I'm just guessing.
We're going to find out if you were right or not. But first, is Big E Langston joking or not? Kind of sounds like both. Two wins against the World Heavyweight Champion in very recent memory and no mention of a title shot. I'm burning my bra in protest. Zack Ryder is definitely not joking. Hashtag Raw. So at John Cena said that he had a horrible 2012. Did he see mine or my 2013? Sheamus on his loss Monday night. Outsmarted by Beardy and Stashi. Well, even the sun shines on the dog's arse on a cloudy day. Hashtag Damo the dog's arse. Meanwhile, logic dies a slow death. What a retarded metaphor, says G.
Yep. That was... What a shitty tweet.
Curtis Axel on his big win. I never had the privilege to stand in the ring with my dad, but now I'm honored to stand in the history books with him. Happy Father's Day, Dad. You know, I didn't catch the end of the match. My wife did, and she said, you know, he just, like, held the belt up and just looked up, you know?
Maven fan says, go fuck yourself, movie is better.
Where's Jack Swagger? Jack Swagger is due back in court on June 12th. I'm talking like Jack Swagger now. On June 25th in Mississippi to face charges from his February 19th arrest in Gulfport. He faces fines of $437 for possession of marijuana, $188 for driving 10 miles over the speed limit, and $1,300 for a first-time DUI.
Hey, Roddy Rodimus just joined in.
Hey, he's back. The answer to wrestling trivia was C, Mr. Awesome. Mike Awesome was the career killer, the fat chick thriller, and that 70s guy in WCW, but never Mr. Awesome. I win! let's see. The AAA Triple Mania pay-per-view on Sunday never broadcast. They told Ustream buyers, hi guys, that there was a problem after about 15 minutes, but were never able to get a feed up and eventually had to apologize and offer refunds. The event is supposed to be available on their website by Wednesday.
Yeah, you apparently know, the Ring of Honor had problems too last night, so...
You know, Ustream is not that damn hard to figure out.
I have no idea what happened, but I do know that AAA did make the entire pay-per-view available for free online and refunded pretty much everyone's money, as far as I know. So they did the right thing.
Yes, absolutely. I will give them credit for that. But, I mean, this Ustream thing, I do three shows on Ustream every week. Well, most weeks.
Yeah, you didn't do Think Metal this week, did you?
No, you know, I was like quarter after 12, and I hadn't even bothered coming into the studio yet.
And well, that was what I texted you about, because I tuned it on, and I was getting last week's episode, and it said off-air. I'm like...
Yeah. George texted me, tweeted me, and said he wasn't coming on the show, and I said, okay, well, you know. In that case, I'm canceling Think Metal, and then I posted on the Think Metal Facebook page that we weren't doing a show this week, and that we'd be back next week. Just because... I didn't feel like it.
Oh, that's okay. I just, like I said, I was doing the sheet tweaks this morning, and I was just, I'm like, I'll put it on, I'll have it, and, you know, I'll do the sheet tweaks, and then it's like, it kept playing last week, so it's like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, if George was here, we would have done one, but since he wasn't coming, I was like, fuck this, I'm not doing a whole damn show by myself with nothing planned.
And then, like I said, we start late. For those who are just tuning in late, we started late, and I get on here, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, is he coming on? Is anybody coming on?
Yeah, I was having issues. Like, if I didn't reboot my computer, you'd all be looking at my ugly face right now. So, on the Ustream, and nobody wants that. Let's see. Brock Lesnar's appearance on Raw this week was largely kept secret. He didn't even arrive at the venue until 9:30 Eastern, so many people who worked for WWE were surprised when he came out at the end of the show. Matt Stryker has been future endeavored by WWE. WWE.com has learned that WWE has chosen not to renew Matt Stryker's contract. As of today, June 20th, 2013, Stryker will no longer be working with WWE. WWE wishes him the best in all his future endeavors, one of which may be right here on BoardWrestlingFan.com.
Stay tuned. When I met Foley a couple of weeks ago, I tried to have him sign my book. Wish me well in my future endeavors. He wouldn't. He just signed the book.
See, that's why you gotta get Nydia Fan to sign your copy of his book, because he will sign best of luck in your future endeavors. My copy is signed. That he's working on a new book, by the way. I got to read the first little bit of it, 45 pages or so.
Yeah, we should get him on here.
We could.
Throw an invite. Say, hey, get on here.
I will. I will ask him if he wants to be on. Well, let me figure out what's going on with Stryker first.
Yeah.
And then we'll figure out a good time to get our dear friend Nydia Fan on. And he could argue with Maven Fan, I'm sure. Who was the better Tough Enough 1 winner? There you go. WWE stars comment on Rob Van Dam's return. A few selected quotes are below. Paul Heyman: the entire WWE universe is buzzing about the return of a true one-of-a-kind, Rob Van Dam, and no one, I assure you, no one is more exhilarated about the return of RVD than Paul Heyman himself, because after all, Rob Van Dam is a Paul Heyman guy.
Okay.
Vicky Guerrero says, my responsibility is making the best opportunities for Monday Night Raw. To have RVD return back to WWE, I am honored to be part of the board that looked into his profile and welcomed him with open arms. RVD and I go back many years to when he was with Eddie. I cannot wait to see him here. Damian Sandow says, I am not threatened by any man whose name is three letters.
You're welcome.
More on RVD. His new WWE deal is for limited dates and only for a short term. He won't be on the road full time. His bio was removed from TNA's website shortly after last night's announcement. The answer to Stump JT was...
Yes, I was right.
Alex Trebek did appear as himself in a special celebrity rock and roll version of Celebrity Jeopardy on May 18th, 2002. Hulk Hogan was asked about the signing, and he says... Oh, that's right. JT Hogan got beat up earlier in the show.
Oh, let's see. I'm sorry. I was answering Maven fan. I don't know if you know who Mike Rickard is, but yeah, that's who an idiot fan is. Maven fan. Okay, yeah. I have no idea what's going on with RVD, dude, brother. That's a Dixie and Bruce Prichard deal, dude, brother.
Negotiations with Rob Van Dam for a WWE return began as far back as 3 weeks ago. They have already plotted out a storyline for him that starts with Money in the Bank. As noted, he will be working a reduced schedule with limited dates, a deal that is at least somewhat similar to the one Brock Lesnar has, though the dollar amount is not known. There was initially talk of having Rob Van Dam be a Paul Heyman guy on TV when he returns to WWE, given their mutual history together in ECW, but since RVD got a big face reaction from the Money in the Bank announcement, and Heyman is a heel manager, they nixed the idea. RVD must think the MITB briefcase is full of hashish, says that damn double C.
And there's a retort from Rob Van Dam on Twitter, and he said, on why he left TNA, contract expired, so did professionalism, courtesy, and respect.
Ouch.
Yeah, no doubt. That's the only update I can see about RVD in the news. I'm just looking at it right now. So,
and JT's got a Daily Show clip here of somebody calling out
John Oliver.
John Oliver's calling out Zeb Coulter.
Feel like you're growing older, waiting.
No, I don't. I feel like I'm growing older, waiting for this 15 seconds to end.
This is a long piece. It's about 8 minutes long. Just to
that's fine.
You know.
That's fine. We got plenty of time to kill. It's only 3:12, and we're almost done with the damn show.
I know.
That's what happens when George isn't here.
Welcome back. So, immigration, clearly a dominant issue in the country right now, is being discussed everywhere, and I do mean everywhere.
I am speaking to you from within a country that is under siege every day. We have foreigners flooding our country, sneaking across our border like rats in the street.
Hey, hey, I'm one of those rats. And I'll have you know, I crossed the ocean on a very comfortable Virgin Atlantic flight. The time flew by, so get your facts straight. So even the WWE currently has a storyline around the immigration debate. And to give them credit, they actually had a good discussion about the ambivalence and hypocrisy at the heart of our policies.
Zeb Coulter comes out here, he preaches about how Jack Swagger's a real American, from other countries shouldn't come in here, they shouldn't take our jobs.
Antonio Cesaro's from another country.
Yes!
And he's now associated, so he didn't have a problem with people from other countries. He has a problem with people coming from other countries who come here the wrong way.
So he's going to change. He's changing his argument tonight to bring in this guy, Antonio Cesaro.
He said,
give me a break.
What beautiful dream of television is this? Not only was that technically more articulate a debate than anything we've heard in Congress, but it came with half-naked men fighting. It's like C-SPAN with elbow drops. Please, give me more.
Zeb was even mad that John Oliver took over for John Stewart.
Oh, please. John Oliver, please. very funny.
British comedian.
Taking over the Daily Show for a couple of months with John McCain.
What is happening? What? You're mad at me! You're mad at me! Oh, now this is personal. I know how pro wrestling works. You trash talk about me, I got to trash talk right back at you. So if that is your real fake name, let's do this. Let's do this thing. Yeah. 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 I'm here to represent for all immigrants. Give me some fire back there. Yes. Yes. And let me say, if Zeb wants to go after immigrant rats, he better be prepared to get gnawed on, because we got teeth. I may not quite have the muscle mass for this. I might need a little help. Mick, do you mind helping me? Mick? Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's Mick Foley.
Yes. Oh, yes. Huh? Yeah.
I got this, John.
Okay. Take it.
Hey, Zeb, you got a problem with immigrants. Now you've got a problem with me.
Oh, dear, Zeb. You done poked a bear, son.
Zeb, if you don't like immigrants coming here and taking our jobs, why don't you get your ass out of the ring and pick vegetables 14 hours a day for 50 cents an hour?
Exactly. Strong point. Or, Zeb, would you rather the strawberries in your protein shake cost $75? Because that is the economic reality of the situation. It's complicated. Excellent
point.
Yep.
Immigrants do our toughest, dirtiest jobs.
Yeah.
Do you have what it takes? The gall, the stones, to step into a basic cable talk show's host chair? If your boss goes away for the summer...
I don't think you do! I don't think you got it.
But this immigrant does!
Yes! I got it! I'll do it!
Even though Jon Stewart is a TV icon whose hard-won legacy Oliver is pissing away.
Whoa.
For an audience watching out of nothing but habit.
No, that's not, no.
Yearning
no.
For the real Jon's return in September.
Let's get back on point, Mick. Let's get back on point. Okay, let's go. Okay. Yeah.
So the next guy who tries to talk smack about immigrants is going to have us to deal with.
Exactly. You tell me to speak English.
Yeah.
You speak English. You do it.
Oh, while immigrants are taking the path to citizenship, You'll be crawling down the path to the emergency room.
Yes, and you will only need one document there, a prescription for morphine. That's a painkiller, mother.
Boom.
So,
you come here next week.
Yeah, you come here next week, and we will take these chairs, these cold steel chairs,
and we will unfold them.
We will unfold them. Yes, we will, and we will sit down, and we will discuss the complexities of immigration reform with you. We will do it.
Because immigrants built this country and helped weave it into the vibrant tapestry we call the American dream.
So if you think you can bully the dreamers, we'll make your life a nightmare.
We will crush you.
Yes.
With charts.
Yes.
And graphs.
Yes.
Showing the net economic benefit of an inclusive policy that embraces the tired, the poor, the huddled masses searching.
Searching.
For a better life.
So, if you, Zeb, have the guts to debate, we'll be here anytime you come down here next week and you say to my face.
I'm not going to be here next week. I'm producing a documentary on Santa Claus.
That actually sounds interesting. In which case, Zeb, you should come back in September and ask for John Stewart, the host, and take it up with him.
Take it up with
him. But the point about immigration stands.
Yes, it does.
Mick Foley, everyone.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
I like the wanted naughty or nice Santa Claus shirt Mick was wearing.
Yeah, no, when I saw Foley on, I had to put that. That was like, yeah, that's got to go in there.
Yeah. George and I are actually going to see Mick Foley in August. He's coming to Buffalo. And
somebody already saw him, didn't they? Oh,
yes, wait. I know.
That's me. So we were going to segue into that. Yeah, it was a good time. I can honestly say it was $20. You know, it was well worth the $20. We went in, he had two openers. The one opener was pretty funny. His name is Justin something. And then the second person came and she was a lady and she was announced former WWE writer, and it was like right there, it was like great. And she was not funny at all.
Jen Bloodsworth.
She was getting pity laughs the whole time. So if you plan on having to go to the bathroom and take a, that's when you're gonna want to go when she's on, because she wasn't funny at all. She was getting was pity laughter. And then Mick comes on and like the whole thing is, you know, he spends a lot of time talking about, it's basically if we're all wrestling fans, so we're all going to enjoy this. If you're not a wrestling fan, don't go to it, because you're not going to get, because we went as a group of like 30 people, and half the people that were there didn't watch wrestling, so they were like you know, so they didn't really get it. But like he spends a lot of time talking about the Hall of Fame and I think a certain match that is like the defined his career. I think it was it in a cell? I think it was.
Probably.
Yeah, he spends a lot of time talking about the Hell in a Cell match. but yeah, it was a good time. I had a good time. I enjoyed myself. I had at our table. I had the Foley is Good book, or no, not Foley, the first one. Have a Nice Day. Yeah, Have a Nice Day book propped up. There was like three people in the audience, other people that had the book with them. Beth Phoenix was in the audience. I don't know if she's with him on every, but she was at our, and he pointed her out. Yeah, so, and at the end of it, they did the whole meet and greet. So I'm gonna tell you right now, you're gonna want to buy something, because the free line was forever, and everybody I was with were like, go meet him. I'm like, look at the line, I'm not gonna go meet him. It's way too long. I'm not standing here for 2 hours to meet Mick Foley. We found out that if you're buying something, the line was a lot shorter, so I'd rather spend $10 and I got to meet him and only had to wait like 5 minutes than to wait like 2 hours.
Right.
So yeah, and when I got up to meet him, I didn't take any pictures. My girlfriend took a couple of pictures from the back, but I did an Al Snow joke. I said I had the Al Snow Best of DVD. I was gonna have you sign it, but somehow it disappeared. And he's got like the oldest cell phone. He got a text. He's got like the oldest cell phone. It's all cracked and broken. He got a text message. He's got like a cell phone from like 2006.
Jeez. It still works better than mine does right about now. I'm like sitting in the studio. I'm staring out the window at the pool. I'm like, as soon as the show's over, I'm going to jump in that fucking pool. And I don't got to worry about my damn phone this week. This time around, because it's not here. WWE officials already considered Dolph Ziggler to have made a full face turn and are programming him for a rematch with Alberto Del Rio and or a spot in the next Money in the Bank in July, which my wife wants to go to, by the way. She's like, oh, we could go to that, can't we? She's excited because it's Rob Van Dam and it's in Philly. And
isn't it?
What's up?
Isn't it sold out?
Well, you could still get tickets. You just got to know where to look. Anyway. Yeah, so she wants to go, and it's, you know, because she's expecting the New Jersey post-WrestleMania Raw crowd because it's Rob Van Dam in Philly, but you know, we're still talking about it. We might go, and if so, then it's you guys handling the show that day because I'll be on the road.
Money in the Bank isn't until July? Oh, wait, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking it's earlier in the month, in June, than it is. I'm sorry.
No, it's almost July now.
Yeah, I know.
It's June 23rd. See, despite rumors to the contrary and crowd reactions in Chicago, Chris Jericho won't be making a heel turn. They feel he's one of their most consistent faces and can use that to get a lot of the younger talent over. WWE officials think Payback on Sunday and Raw on Monday were two of the best shows in months. And G says,
all good. Just keep doing shit like that. Maybe JT will unfire you.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Random video of the week time. That damn double C thinks we need brushing up on sexual harassment in the workplace. Let's see what we got here.
You hear about sexual harassment on TV, and it makes the headlines in newspapers. As an employee, what do you need to know about it? First, sexual harassment is against the law. And it's against your company's policy. So, what is sexual harassment?
Linda, you are doing a fine job here.
Oh, well, thank you, Steve.
But you know, you might try dressing a little sexier at work.
I'm sorry?
I mean, we're talking about your job here.
There may be physical harassment.
Wow. You really tensed today, Nancy.
Ow, Bill!
Sorry. You looked really tense.
You know, I really don't like it when you do that. Can you please stop?
I'll never stop, Nancy. Never.
In some instances, the harassment may be verbal.
Word around the office is you've got a fat cock.
Yes, I do.
I've got a fat cock, too. Maybe we should rub our fat cocks together sometime. Maybe a little oil? Two fat cocks? Together? Oil.
It might be visual harassment, such as derogatory posters, cartoons, or drawings.
Sexual harassment is not always about sex. It may be the result of a power struggle between a manager and a subordinate.
Man, I could go for a power fuck right now.
Change is slow, and what was acceptable in common behavior years ago can now be sexual harassment.
Smells like vagina in here.
Excuse me?
Smells like fresh vagina in here.
Are you talking about my vagina?
Maybe.
Everyone wants...
And he told me to stop at 202, so there we go. That was our random video of the week.
Ah, coolie.
You gotta love Cooley.
Yeah. No, it's...
Hey, get this. Triple H's theme music was played before the first period of Game 3 for the Blackhawks versus Bruins. Triple H's damn theme music is played at every hockey game ever. It's usually played before the game, though. Right when the teams have gotten out onto the ice, right before the first puck drop. So I guess it's news that they waited... Oh, no, wait, before the first period. Hey, how about that? Gee, that's news. You were going to say something, JT?
Oh, no. Well, you know, I wouldn't say, well, you know, Triple H's theme music, because, you know, it is by Motorhead, and it is the game, so it's not... It is technically is, but, you know, I bet you they didn't ask Triple H for to use his theme music.
Yes. The Undertaker's music was used during the Heat versus Spurs game on Sunday night. Yay. Yay. This is a slow news week, ladies and gentlemen. Believe it or not, and Stevie J of Angry Marks is still slightly suspicious, the argument between Triple H and Daniel Bryan on Monday was not scripted. According to reports, Bryan suffered a legit stinger as he hit the dive on the outside on Orton, and the match being stopped was an audible, which Bryan didn't appreciate because he felt like he could have finished the match and the injury wasn't serious. The argument between the two got heated in the gorilla position and continued backstage, but the two eventually patched it up and are said to be back on good terms.
as in AAA said, if you don't shut the fuck up and kiss my ass, you're getting fired.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. You know, my buddy, who is a aspiring pro wrestler, let's put it that way, he had recently been released from his organization he was in for arguing with the guy in charge, and he posted on Facebook like, "Oh, Daniel Bryan could go scream at Triple H backstage, and he don't get nothing. Me, I get fired for speaking the truth." Blah blah blah. Like, yeah, okay, dude, sure. Anyway, from Jim Ross, the Mark Henry retirement segment on Monday night was Monday Night Raw gold and will go down in history as one of the all-time great Raw moments as far as I'm concerned. I've seen a few in my time, for the record. The TV viewer's perception of any storyline or performance is dependent solely on the execution by the talent. Great execution can overcome mediocre material, and great execution can make good material great and great creative unforgettable. Mark Henry's performance Monday night will be remembered for years and was, without question, Mark's finest hour since we signed him in 1995. Just another moment from an epic Raw missed by the JT Hogan.
I didn't miss it. I watched it since it basically played on both main event and SmackDown. I watched the whole... I heard about it and I watched it.
Mark Henry revels in his deception. John Cena, I'd like to say I'm sorry, but I'm not. Now all you fans know how Manti Te'o felt. Wow, that was low even for me. Still laughing. Oh, jeez. Let's see. Matt Hardy will own Ring of Honor starting this Saturday. Technically, yesterday. And, well, here we go again. More videos to fill out the time that we're wasting by not having George here after this 15 seconds of me babbling on for no apparent reason whatsoever that you guys don't need to know about because we are not illegally streaming content from YouTube and airing it on this show.
NBC
America. I got an ad. Okay. Let's see what Matt Hardy's going to do.
Oh, my goodness. How I have a huge, historic weekend in front of me. Because this weekend, in Baltimore, Maryland, the wrestling icon, Matt Hardy, finally goes one-on-one with Kevin Steen. You know, when Steve Corino, my spiritual father, King Corino, first asked me to come on board and join Scum, I had reservations. My gut feeling, my instincts told me not to trust Kevin Steen. Because Kevin, I know exactly what you are, man. You're a selfish, heartless, friendless human being that has a diseased soul. You know what? Just because I love Steve Corino so much, I even let the fact slide that you gave a package pile driver to my fiance, Rebby Sky. And only because my beacon of light, Steve Corino, asked me to forgive you, Kevin, I had to look hard and long and deep within myself to do that. But I did. I forgave you. And I accepted you for all of your flaws. And believe me, Kevin, you have a lot of flaws. But you refused to accept me for who I am. I'm an evolved human being that's virtually perfect in every way possible. But I understand, Kevin, you're jealous of me because I've overcame darkness and demons. I am a completely rehabilitated, evolved human being. And Kevin, I am a walking and breathing example of a role model, an inspiration, and of change. The kind of change that Ring of Honor so desperately needs right now. You would have never even lost at Supercard of Honor if you would have allowed me to help you like I attempted to, Kevin. But it was your jealousy that never gave our friendship a chance to even blossom. It never had a hope because of you and your selfishness. So at Best in the World 2013, Kevin Steen, I put you down like a dog once and for all. And I put an end to the myth of Kill Steen Kill. And it's a shame, really. Because under different circumstances, Kevin, I think you and I could have been great friends. But regardless of that, the very next night, Matt Hardy fulfills his true destiny. Regardless of which one of those filthy, stinky, rotten, dirty Briscoe brothers walks out of Best in the World as the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion, it makes no difference. Because on Sunday, June 23rd, I fulfill destiny. I know this might sound crazy, it probably sounds insane, but the icon Matt Hardy has quite a bit in common with the Briscoes. I grew up in the country. I grew up in Cameron, North Carolina. When I was young, I worked in a chicken house. I primed tobacco. I did tons of manual labor. But then I grew the f*** up and actually made something of myself. I became a multimillionaire, wealthy humanitarian, globally known professional wrestler, a household name across this planet. And don't get it twisted, Ring of Honor fans or Briscoes, Matt Hardy can still get his hands dirty. And much like Steve Corino said, everyone remembers where they were when JFK was shot. Everyone remembers where they were when 9/11 went down. And everyone will remember where they were when Matt Hardy becomes the final Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion. And all you blind Ring of Honor sheep that keep bringing up my past and won't let that go, well, you say, Matt Hardy, in the professional wrestling business, you've made your bed and now you have to lie in it. Well, I am happy to lie in my bed, and I'm going to be even more happy to lie in my bed as the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion.
Keep coming back. I got a family to feed.
Get with it, boy.
Oh, boy.
And I have the results right here. Best in the world that happened yesterday. If we want to run through them real quick.
Oh, please. By all means.
Okay. Match number one, BJ Whitmer defeated Mike Bennett. Match number two, the American Wolves defeated Adrenaline Rush. Match number three, Adam Cole defeated Roderick Strong by countout. Match number four, Michael Elgin defeated Tommaso Ciampa. Match number five, Matt Taven successfully defended the U.S. The television title by defeating Jimmy Jacobs and Jay Lethal. Match six, Red Dragon successfully defended the tag team titles by defeating CNC Wrestle Factory and Scum. Matt Hardy defeated Kevin Steen. And the main event, Jay Briscoe defeated Mark Briscoe.
So does that mean Matt Hardy owns Ring of Honor now?
I don't know.
Is that what that was all about? I don't know.
I think Matt Hardy is going to be the next number one contender because I think that's what with the whole way they're going. And when he wins, they're saying when he wins it, Scum's going to take over Ring of Honor and they're going to just end it or some shit like that.
The only thing I got out of that video was half naked Rebby Sky.
Maven fan, Matt Hardy says something but nobody listens. Try indeed.
Exactly. Yes. Dolph Ziggler is in fact medically cleared to compete. So as previously noted, the storyline about him aggravating his concussion on WWE.com is kayfabe to build up a rematch with Alberto Del Rio. One storyline they're considering is that Ziggler wins Money in the Bank again this year and then cashes in on Del Rio when he refuses to have the rematch.
That's a good idea.
Yes, I think so. Friend of the show and former writer here at Board Wrestling Fan, Jamie Kennedy's website, Ministry of Slam, recently interviewed Shawn Michaels. Here is his response to something many of us old school fans might wonder. Shawn Michaels on whether tag team wrestling can make a comeback. As far as any resurgence of tag team wrestling, I can't really say. It's impossible for me to get in the minds of individuals, but I don't know if that's a real focus right now with the guys. Not a lot of guys seem to go into tags looking to make that team the absolute best it could be. Whether the company standpoint is that guys have to be individuals in order to be successful, or that comes from the wrestlers themselves, there does seem to be more emphasis on single success now than there was back when I started. And you can get that interview on our distributor, cheapheat.com, or of course go directly to the source, ministryofslam.com. Jamie Kennedy, awesome dude. I'm proud of him for all the great work he's doing now. The prodigy, Mike Bennett, has not been given his WWE developmental start date yet, which means he's free to keep working for Ring of Honor and on the independents until further notice. Colt Cabana got two WWE tryouts recently, thanks to CM Punk, both for a spot as color commentator. This appears to be dated. Colt's two tryouts were actually about a year apart, and the second came after WWE liked his participation in the CM Punk Best of the World DVD set. Apparently, that one came about without Punk even asking for it. Natalya and Tyson Kidd's wedding will be filmed for and air on the E! Total Divas show. And then a reality show involving Kid and Natalya featuring the Kardashians and Ryan Seacrest because they're on fucking everything on E, says that damn double C. He's right. JT's laughing because he knows.
I slapped my head.
And the last bit of news I have is apparently Vince McMahon was well aware of the Gail Kim versus Taryn Terrell match at TNA, and it was beyond obvious backstage that he wanted Caitlyn versus AJ at Payback to outshine it and be more talked about afterward. Maven fan wants to know.
Not so much. Maybe it was good. It was good. It wasn't a bad match, but that Gail Kim Taryn Terrell match was mind-bogglingly good.
Maven fan wants to know if anybody remembers when Matt Hardy was in TNA, because she doesn't.
Nope.
No, now that you mention it, no, I don't. He was there very briefly, I think. I don't really recall. It was like for like a week.
Yeah, it was around the time they went head to head on Monday, where they attempted to.
You mean when they? When they brought back the NWO.
Yeah, and Val Venus showed up for a day or two.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And he was back. He was doing the thing with the knockouts or whatever. Yeah, I remember that.
I remember that. I don't remember Matt Hardy being in TNA. I just don't remember it.
All I remember about the night that they first went head-to-head with WWE was as soon as they went to commercial, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels hugged on Monday Night Raw, and that was the end of it.
Well, I just remember, like, a week before it happened, I was playing poker. I was at a poker night at my friend's house, and this random dude I started talking to, because it was the night Stone Cold was the guest host of Raw, and I was wearing my El Rey Race Hell Leave t-shirt. He's like, yeah, aren't you excited the Monday Night Wars are back? I'm like, no, it's not. It's got nothing to. Well, but the TNA's got Hogan now. They're gonna go with Hogan and Bischoff. I'm like, no, trust me, I'm watching around. It's gonna do nothing. Mike, and then I go, I'm like, well, what one are you gonna watch? He's like, oh, I don't have a TV.
What?
It's like, well, you're talking all this shit to me about it, but you don't have a TV.
Yes. Well, there's a little more news. I found some more news. Let's see. We've got WWE has filed a trademark for the name Slam City. This is reportedly a possible name for a new TV show. No other details are known at this time. Yes! Yeah. He had the horrible dreads. Rowdy Rodimus is right. He had the horrible dreads. I remember that much. The Zima Ion fundraiser officially ended on June 20th and only raised $6,648 of the requested $30,000. This is only 22% of the goal, as previously reported. Ion does not have medical insurance and went in for emergency surgery for appendicitis and a tumor in his colon. No word on if they might try to extend the fundraiser or start another one. Which, we've been plugging this, right? I mean, Zima's a great guy. I haven't had money. I've been, like, flat broke, or I would have donated something to him at least. But, you know, he's a great guy, and I hope he gets his expenses paid. He definitely deserves it.
The apocalypse is coming. Danica Patrick is in the top 10 in a race.
WWE Hall of Famer, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, is said to be the one who originally came up with the idea for the Bray Wyatt character, but it's reported that Wyndham Rotunda, formerly known as Husky Harris and now playing the Bray Wyatt character, has really embraced the character and made it his own. Rotunda has reportedly come up with lots of his own ideas for the character. Speaking of Bray Wyatt, WWE star Wade Barrett was asked who to watch out for in the next decade during an interview with NewsJournalOnline.com. He had the following suggestion. Bray Wyatt is going to be a big deal with the Wyatt family. They are very strange and very creepy. He is going to be a big star. There's an English guy named Adrian Neville. He's an incredible athlete and a very high flyer. He's in the mold of Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara. I think this might be the most athletic guy I've ever seen. Bo Dallas has a lot of potential. He made the mistake of attacking me, though. He needs some maturation. Oh, boy. You know, I almost went to the Impact Zone. I see Maven Fan says she used to live 30 minutes away and never went. I almost went. I was supposed to go the night before WrestleMania 24, or the night before. So we weren't going to go to the TV taping that one of the Highlanders got fired on, but we were going to go to the next TV taping the next night, but we never made it because we ended up getting screwed over on our rental car.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we ended up getting our rental car at like 8 o'clock the next morning, And we got to Orlando at like 8 o'clock Saturday morning, which meant we got just enough sleep to go get stuck in traffic on the way to the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony. And we got there halfway through The Rock's speech and still got to watch him talk for a half an hour before he got around to inducting his dad and his grandpa. Gotta love The Rock. Not. And then Ric Flair's hour-long speech was also that night. That was a tough night to stay awake. Yeah, that's what I was thinking about Adrian Neville, too, is what Rowdy Rodimus says, is he'll just get injured all the time. I don't know. And I don't know why wrestlers don't have insurance. I don't have insurance, but that's me. I'm not a wrestler.
Well, I have insurance, but that's because I'm a government employee.
I say you work for the government.
They like when I sign in, like I have everything, like, you know, like you sign all the stuff, they send all the stuff, like I work, so much goes up for my retirement, so much, you know, I pay this much for insurance every month. So like when I had my kidney stone surgery a year and a half ago, I hadn't paid a cent for it. I've never gotten a bill for my kidney stone surgery, and that was like a 5-hour surgery.
Wow.
So
anybody else have anything to add to this week's show, since it's only 3:45 and we've only been on the air for an hour and a half? I take that as
not
a
really, I think.
Well, yesterday when I was at my buddy's house, we got a hold of his phone.
Oh boy.
Word of advice, kids, don't leave you password protect your phone. Because we got it started. One of the people made it look like he just put all this gay stuff on there. He's like, yeah, I realized I like cock now and this and that. It was just...
Oh boy. Well, my phone drowned it in, so I don't have to worry about it.
Sounds like that video that Chris Cooley left for us is aimed right at JT.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, I've had to attend those classes. They're just like that. It gets worse than that. They're like they tell you that like even if you look at a woman, you could technically be sexually harassing them. That's basically what they said.
Wear sunglasses to meetings.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
If your boss is a female, avoid contact of all kinds, including eye contact, even when she demands you to look at her when she's speaking to you. I can't.
That would be sexual harassment. I can't do it. So how are things in Calgary, G? Is everything calming down now? Are they getting things under control?
Not really.
Oh, well, okay. That kind of sucks.
Yep.
All right, well then, on that note, since apparently we don't have anything else to talk about, what do you say we call it a day early and get back to our real lives early for once and get back to Cock Talk next week with George here on the show.
Only, you know, George is here because we start late and finish early.
Absolutely. Well, for at Think So Joe, wait, that's me, for at G of the Internet, at Random Redhead, and at Bird Wrestling Fan, that's Board Wrestling Fan Without Vowels. We'll see you next week on hashtag BWF Radio. And don't forget, when you see hashtag Orton's Fault, that's us. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
I wanna go to the beach.
The beach came to me.
Thanks for having me, buddy.